These later years of childhood have been flying by. As a mom, I want to not just be available to my kids during these last years they have at home, but I want to feel good and have the energy I need to keep up with their schedule and my own. So my health is a top priority. Equilibria is a woman-owned wellness brand with unique science-backed products that help bring your mind and body back into harmony. You're not alone on your wellness journey. Every customer gets one-on-one support to help you meet your goals. EQ's Daily Women's Microbiome Defense is a 3-in-1 capsule that supports your digestive health and promotes gut barrier protection. A healthy gut positively impacts immunity, mental health, sleep, digestion, and skin health. It helps regulate digestion, immunity against bad bacteria, and improve nutrient absorption. The gut has been called the second brain because it contains more than 100 million nerve cells. It is a vitally important piece to our overall health, both physical and mental. So to make sure my gut is working at its potential, I started taking EQ's Daily Women's Microbiome Defense to improve my digestion and nutrition absorption, boost my overall immune health, and help with sleep and stress as a bonus. Head to myeq.com and use code PARENTING for 15% off Equilibria's Microbiome Defense and much more. That's myeq.com and use code PARENTING at checkout for 15% off site-wide today. This episode is sponsored by ByHeart. ByHeart is an infant nutrition company whose mission is simple: make the best formula in the world. Using the latest in breast milk science, ByHeart created a clinically proven, easy-to-digest infant formula that's made with organic, grass-fed whole milk, certified clean ingredients, and features a patented protein blend that gets closest to breast milk. Our blend includes the most abundant protein found in breast milk, alpha-lac, as well as lactoferrin, the number one protein found in colostrum, along with broken down, partially hydrolyzed proteins. ByHeart is an easy-to-digest formula. In addition to its patented protein blend, our formula includes prebiotics and an 80-20 whey to casein ratio, like in early breast milk, which is tailor-made for a newborn's digestive system. ByHeart is the only U.S.-made infant formula to use organic, grass-fed whole milk, not skim. Curious about ByHeart? Redeem your welcome offer at byheart.com/podcast with the code PARENTING for a limited time. Additional terms and conditions apply. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Your Village Podcast, Parenting Beyond Discipline, the place to learn about all things parenting and get your questions answered. I'm your host, Erin Royer. So this week's questions are about what do you do with incessant potty talk? Do you ignore it? If so, for how long? How long does it take to just get it to stop? Or can you set boundaries around it? Then, for the next question, what do you do about major meltdowns and with situations that you cannot avoid? So I'll answer those questions, and then I'm going to talk about our latest parenting challenge, which was the death of a beloved family pet. We had to put our rescue boxer, Lexi, to sleep this past week, and I'll talk about how we navigated that with the kids. Before I get into the questions, I do want to remind you that I have started the 7-day free trial memberships. And again, right now, only offering this to podcast listeners. So if you've been wanting to or thinking about trying out the classes, this is a great way to try them out free for 7 days. You do get access to all the classes on the site. You won't be limited, but you won't be able to get your personalized parenting questions answered in those first 7 days because those are a big time commitment for me to type up those answers and send those off. But if you love the classes, when your membership of choice kicks in after those 7 days, at that point, if you have a parenting question, you can submit that from your account page to the Ask Erin form to get it answered within 48 to 72 hours. I usually try to get to it pretty quickly, but if it's over a weekend, it might be 72 hours. But if it's just not for you, you're not getting what you need, and you cancel in that first 7 days, you don't pay anything. You have complete control over your account to change your membership, cancel, update your payment information, etc. from any time from the account page. So to get the offer for a free 7-day trial membership of your choice, you can go to yourvillageonline.com/free-trial. That's yourvillageonline.com/free-trial. So let's get to the questions. The first question is about incessant potty talk from Julie, and she wrote, "Hi, Erin. I've been listening to your podcast for over a year now and have found myself recently hanging on your every word for some answers to my problem. And I've also recently become a member. My son, who has just turned 4, is obsessed with potty language. He is a very smart and sweet boy, but is all about the humor and attention. From the minute he rolls out of bed, he begins testing the limits of how loud he can say things like butt and fart. He tries saying them hidden in phrases or songs and then shoots me a knowing glance waiting for my reaction. I have tried ignoring this. I mean, he's not hurting anyone, right? It's just annoying, right? Well, a few weeks ago, we were leaving the library and I asked him to say goodbye to his friends. He said, 'Bye-bye, library. Thanks for letting me fart in you.' Then he turned around and bent over and made fart noises. I was mortified. I know physical consequences like yanking his arm or twisting his ear isn't the best option, but I may have done that then. Since the library incident, I have tried taking away things like sweets, which they rarely get anyway, so I just use that as the first negative consequence. Juice, screen time, or playtime with friends. After all that has been taken away, I usually start adding up minutes in their room, 4 minutes per infraction. Still today, the struggle is real, and I'm following up with negative consequences all day long. What is a better consequence for potty language, and where do we draw the line? Instead of fart, now he says toot, or he'll say disgusting pants, implying some messy underwear. I know the kid is bright, and he needs more of a challenge, intellectual stimulation. I plan to get him busier with chores, allowance, and jujitsu. How else would you recommend I go forward with this? Sincerely, Julie." Now, for Julie and any other parents dealing with this stage, this potty talk stage is, as you probably know, very, very common at this age. For whatever reason, preschoolers find this potty talk hilarious. Now, I do have to say, I actually found it hard not to crack up with some of the things that he had said as well. But the good news is, it's funny how you forget all about it as your kids get older. As I read through Julie's message, I was reminded of when my kids went through this stage, which I've obviously forgotten about since then because it doesn't happen very often anymore. The good news about this is they will grow out of it. I had 3 that would egg each other on and laugh at each other every time they used those lovely words, the potty words. Of course, any positive reinforcement, laugh, attention, or from the parent or other children only reinforces the behavior. So when there's multiple children in the house, that can make that a little more difficult. So, Julie, your son has ever received any enforcement, especially in the form of laughter from anyone, you're probably now working against that reinforcement, trying to teach him it's not funny, at least not to you. So the best thing to do really is to ignore it while you're at home or in private, but you can set any boundaries around it that you feel are important. So what we did for us, there was no potty talk at the dinner table. If you used potty talk, you were excused immediately and done with your dinner. There was also no potty talk in public places, especially restaurants or other more formal or polite gatherings. Now, an infraction there would lead to 1 warning, and a second offense was we leave, or one of us takes the offending child away from the gathering, so away from the table, away from the restaurant. I don't really remember having problems in restaurants at all. We must have set those boundaries pretty strictly. I'm sure it probably happened once or twice. It just definitely wasn't something ongoing, because we probably nipped it in the bud pretty quickly. For the library, I know it was as you were leaving, so this makes this a little tricky, but I think the best solution there is a warning for next time, a reminder about potty talk in public places, and if he does it at the library again, he will not get to check out the books. If it's after the books are checked out, you will return them immediately, and he won't get to take them home. Using the library means being respectful of the library and the other people there. So those are some good ways, some good consequences for that, right? We act a certain way in certain public places, and if we can't act accordingly, then we're not going to get to go there, and we're certainly not going to get to engage and interact with the positive things in that place, like the library and the books they get to take home. So this way you're allowing some room to explore the potty talk and get it out of his system at home. You're learning and practicing ignoring it. I know it's hard, but the more you bring attention to it, the more it's going to ramp up, which is why he's now doing that testing with you. Just checking, are you listening? With friends or peers, you're teaching the boundaries about respectful behavior in public, at meals, etc. The next question from Stacy. My son is 3.5 and just started preschool. He has epic meltdown temper tantrums when we don't let him get his way. One specific example is after we pick him up from preschool. Every single day, he wants to play with the neighbor kid who is 6 years old. Once in a while, even a few days a week, I wouldn't mind, but I have a 5-month-old baby and my husband travels for work, and it gets to be a lot managing their playtime and fights over toys. Playing at his house isn't an option because they have a very large dog who isn't friendly to visitors. What techniques can I try? Set the expectation before school that they can't play? How would I word or phrase this? Once he's in a tantrum, it's difficult to get him out of it. I try relating to his feelings, but unless I'm willing to give him what he wants, the whining, hitting, following us around screaming and crying goes on forever. Thanks for your time, Stacy.
As an adult and a mom of a son, both with ADHD, I know navigating the expectations of life with ADHD can be a challenge. But finding the right care and proper tools needed to succeed can be life-changing. With the right resources, you can turn your ADHD into your superpower. Done is an online ADHD care platform that can get you all the resources you need to help manage your ADHD, online visits, refills, and a 24/7 care team made for you. Starting to take care of your ADHD is as easy as 1, taking a 1-minute free assessment to see if Done can help. 2, booking an appointment with a licensed ADHD clinician as soon as today or tomorrow. 3, start receiving ongoing care, enjoy online visits, personalized treatment plan, worry-free refills, and 24/7 care. Take a free 1-minute assessment and book an appointment with a licensed ADHD clinician as soon as the next day. Get continuous care, insurance coverage, and 24/7 care team support with Done for just $79 a month and pharmacy copays as low as $0. Unlock your path to better focus now at get.donefirst.com/podcast. Done. Turn your ADHD into your strength. To me, there is nothing more important than my family's health and well-being. We all know the quality of the air in our home is important. But did you know indoor air quality can be up to 100 times dirtier than outdoor air? I've got to tell you about Puro Air. In 30 minutes, this device will remove allergens, dust, smoke, dander, and gases from the room. Puro Air uses a stronger filter called a HEPA 14 that filters pollutants at a microscopic level and is backed by scientists from Harvard and MIT. In laboratory studies, users saw noticeably cleaner air in just 30 minutes. When it comes to babies and children, there's nothing worse than dealing with a cranky baby or child who can't sleep because of congestion. Air purifiers can help reduce congestion and improve immune system function to fight those winter colds and flus. I use my Puro Air purifiers to clean the air in my home, especially in our bedrooms while we sleep. It has a quiet, relaxing hum and cleans the air from pet dander, allergens, viruses, dust, mold, odors, and contaminants. It has 4 levels, low, medium, high, and sleep, and 4 different timer options so you can customize it to your home and your needs. Check out Puro Air at getpuroair.com. That's getpuroair.com. Puro Air is the only air filter that uses a HEPA 14 filter. That's getpuroair.com.
So, setting the expectation before school will be too long. He won't be able to remember that by the end of the school day, so that won't really help. But reminding him when you leave school, right when you pick him up, or on the car ride home, or even all of the above, right? You can remind him at pickup, setting the expectation, and then as you're getting close to home. Along with that, if there's a way that you could choose a particular day of the week that he can play with the neighbor, if it's just one day a week and you can manage that, then I would work on that. This way you can say, we can't do this today. Our play day with so-and-so is on Thursdays, remember? So that's in 2 more days. You can use it when he starts to get emotional to pull him back from going into the complete meltdown stage. Remember, take a few deep breaths. I know you want to play with so-and-so today, but our play date is Thursday. So we're going to wait until Thursday, and I need you to stay in control or we won't be able to have our play date on Thursday. Now, it doesn't mean he can't be upset or disappointed, just that he can't get too far beyond the hitting, the repeated asking, the whining of why can't we play today? Why can't we play today? That's not acceptable. Connecting with the feelings. I know you're disappointed. I know you were excited about the idea of. Is this good? And teaches him how to share his feelings. I'm sad we can't play today. So that he's sharing feelings, but accepting that today isn't the day. And then you can talk about that. And that's all really good ways to work on that. The other thing is to have something he likes to do that might be interesting or inviting instead. So a particular activity or a snack, now not as a bribe, right? It's just something fun he might like that you can remind him. Remember, today we're going to have our snack and then watch Sesame Street. Thursday is your play date with Jack. So it gives him something else to look forward to, something else to focus his attention on that's also interesting. Now, the scheduled day may really help to cut down on the frustration. But when it's not today, not today, not today, it feels like it's never going to happen. And the constant disappointment every day can kind of build up over time and make them wonder like, well, when is this ever going to happen? And it really, really builds up that frustration and all eventually sort of blows through like a pressure cooker. And so now on to our situation. Last week was a very particularly hard week for our family. We have two dogs. Well, we had two dogs who were both on the older side. Our boxer, Lexi, was 12 and a half. She was a rescue from the local animal shelter that we picked out shortly after we lost another dog. And the dog we have now, which is our only dog, was very, very young. And when my dog had passed away, she was very lonely. She was howling a lot. So we went and picked out Lexi. Now, Carter was only 4 months old at the time. So the kids have only ever known life with these dogs. Well, Lexi was very sick with pancreatitis. She could not absorb any nutrients from her food. And we tried treating her with a prescription, but it just wasn't working. And she was just getting so skinny. I struggled because she was eating and still walking around okay, but I also realized that she was slowly starving to death and the medicine was just not working. So I'd made the decision last Tuesday. I didn't want her to suffer, and yet we had to try to figure out the best time. I felt like the weekend was just too long to make her wait. So we decided that Wednesday evening was the best time for everyone's schedule and to give the kids some chance to grieve before they needed to go back to school, to do what was best for Lexi and to end her suffering. So I decided to tell the kids a few hours before the appointment so they would have time to visit with her and say goodbye, but not too long as to be heartbroken and sad thinking about it all day at school before or the whole night before the vet came over. So I picked up the kids from school on Wednesday. I brought them home and I sat them down. We'd been having talks with them for probably 6 months, very infrequently at first, but we'd let them know that both dogs were getting older and that while both seemed pretty healthy, that older dogs' health can change pretty quickly and that it's important to love and appreciate them while we have them. But then, 4 months into preparing them for this, we saw Lexi getting skinny and sicker, and we took her to the vet and got the diagnosis. Knew we were going to try to treat her, but we didn't know how it was going to go. And so we started having the talks more frequently. There was even a day a few weeks ago, I thought it was time and I just thought she was done. But then she got up and ate. And so, you know, we didn't take her in that day. I wanted to give the medicine some more time to work because we just started giving it to her. But this time on last Wednesday, I had to let them know that the time had really come and we needed to help her because we love her. Now, our kids are older. They're 9, 9, and 10. Our twins just turned 9 last week. And they are at the ages where they do fully understand the finality of death from the earthly physical form perspective, that your form, your physical form on earth is finished. Now, that was tough news to give, and it was tough news to take, and I had 3 crying kids. We opted to have a vet come to the house. This way, Lexi didn't have to get dragged into the office. You know, it's always an anxiety-provoking trip for any dog, and she would get to die peacefully at home. Also, this way I felt was much better for the kids. They could come and go as they wished or wanted or needed. I had explained what would happen, and the vet did the same thing when she arrived, and she was really wonderful with the kids. She asked if they understood why we were doing this, and Chandler answered her beautifully. She explained the procedure as well, like I had done for them. And she and her assistant were really amazing. They were kind and warm. They explained each step as they went. They allowed us plenty of time to visit with Lexi. before and then after she was calmed down. So first they got Lexi comfortable, and the kids were all crying and tearing up by this point. And Chandler decided he just didn't want to be around, that this was too hard. And so he ran off crying to his room. I went with him to comfort him, snuggle with him. Then my husband and I traded so I could go say goodbye to Lexi before they put her all the way out, all the way to sleep, and then before they give the final injection. Once the vet finished the third and last step, my oldest son asked, "Is it finished?" And when the vet said yes, he began absolutely sobbing. She left us alone as a family to visit with Lexi, and then she came back in for her. We walked out with her. They carried her out on a gurney. We walked out with her. They placed her in the back of their car. And they left us once again to say goodbye. And Carter was absolutely sobbing, laying his body on the dog in the back of their SUV. And he was the closest to her, to both dogs, because he's been in charge of feeding them for the last 2 years now. I asked each of them if they wanted me to email their teachers to let them know in case they were having an emotional day at school the next day. And all three of them had said yes. Now, also, all three kids are at a new school now, so this is a brand new school, and all three teachers were absolutely wonderful, warm, caring, engaging educators. Luckily, the kids are so happy at this school and so happy they moved, so that was really helpful in making this difficult issue a lot less stressful in sending them to school the next day. Now, Thursday morning, about 3 hours into the school day, Carter's teacher did call me. And she said he was having a really difficult time at school and he wanted to come home. I had also told the kids that they absolutely could do if they needed to come home. So he hung out with me the remainder of the day until I went to pick up his siblings, and he just wanted to be nearby. We cuddled, we talked, and we just kept each other company. You know, when we talked over the next several days, I told him, I know it's hard. It's one of the hardest parts about life, losing someone you love and coming to understand that death is a part of life. I told him it's really hard at first getting used to the idea of not seeing this person or this animal around every day, but that each day will get a little bit better and soon it won't hurt so much. And each day has gotten better. He's gotten a lot better already. He says he misses her about once a day, or at least he was at first. He hasn't said that in several days now. And I just let him know that I do too when he says that, and that I totally understand. And then on Sunday, the kids had a swim meet, and as we were leaving, we saw a boxer, and he broke down in tears again. He saw the boxer and broke down in tears, and I said, "You miss Lexi, don't you?" And he said, "Yeah." And I said, "Yeah, I do too." So the important thing in working with kids about death is being there to support them, being there to support their feelings, letting them share their feelings. And you're going to handle death at different ways, at different ages, based on their understanding. Ages 9 and above, they really do understand death pretty well. Before that, they don't really quite understand. And the younger they are, the less they understand it. And so due to this experience, I have started creating the class on helping children through death. It discusses death, what children understand or not at each age, how to help them cope with and through the grieving process in age-appropriate ways, depending on their age. And this is one of those hard topics that flusters many adults because they just don't know what to say or how to say it or discuss it or be comfortable being present for those deep and tough life conversations. And very few of us get really good role models in some of these types of deeper life struggles. So I'm creating that class for parents who want or will need to be ready to handle this type of subject matter. In addition, I've also already created another new class. It's currently in the production stage. I will be recording that and editing that over the weekend, and then we'll be releasing that in the next week or two. That one is almost ready to go. And this one is Learning Styles and Multiple Intelligence. And this is such an important topic because understanding your children's learning styles and areas of intelligence, both where they shine and where they struggle, is really helpful to understand why and where they may struggle or not in their education and academic process and how to advocate for that. Because there are three learning styles, and most schools teach mainly and or predominantly to one type. Also, there's 8 areas of intelligence, but schools and IQ tests only test and teach 3 to 4 of these. So if your child or children don't happen to excel in those 4 areas, or only a few of those, but also in other ways that are not commonly graded or tested in schools, you can not only see and appreciate your child's talents, you can help your child understand how their talents may not quite fall into or be seen by the traditional academic rating system. You can then know what you're working with and how to advocate for their needs, work on their struggles, or find a different solution to support their growth of their strengths as well, if they're not getting that in school. And this is really why I needed to move schools for my younger son. And also, it turns out my older son is just flourishing much better in the new school as well. And my daughter is perfectly happy there too. They're all really happy. So it's been a great move. It's the flexibility of the teaching. They teach in different styles. They teach lots of different ways and subjects and to different types of skills and abilities and talents. There's project-based learning, and this has really turned out to be a better fit for all 3 kids. So I will announce when each of these classes is fully available on the website as well, but you can go and see all of the other over 50 classes available on demand in all different areas of positive discipline, development and health topics, education topics, and modern parenting at yourvillageonline.com. And again, if you're interested in checking out the classes for 7 days for free, go to yourvillageonline.com/free-trial. If you have a parenting question you'd like answered, you can send an email to podcast@yourvillageonline.com. Thanks for listening, and see you next week.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.